The Woman I Was Before, written by Carrie Fisher and read by Emma Spurgeon Hussey.
Chapter 1. Kate. Friday the 30th of June. Of all the emotions I felt as I walked into my new house, hope was the most unexpected. But there it was, against the backdrop of fresh paint, a fragment of belief that this time, in the first home I'd owned since it all went wrong, Daisy and I would know good times. Of course, right behind hope was the familiar rush of caution. Keep yourself to yourself. Tagging along like a truculent toddler I'd been unable to shake off for the last 16 years. I glanced at Daisy, trying to read her face. I had no right to need anything from her. No right to expect excitement or gratitude. I was still willing her to show some enthusiasm, if only to dissolve the big knot of guilt sitting in my stomach like a donut I should never have eaten. She didn't disappoint. Despite growing up with just me, my daughter had sidestepped my tendency to look backwards, to dwell, to live in the past. Instead, she gathered herself in and headed towards the next thing with a quiet determination I hadn't mastered at 43, let alone at 17. As she stepped into the living room and whirled round and round, her olive skin standing out against the light walls, her dark hair swirling behind her, I managed not to suggest she took off her Dr. Martens. I itched to hurry out to the van to fetch the Hoover, to smooth out the pile in the carpet again, to keep our lives blank and uneventful. Daisy picked up my phone from the windowsill and started taking photos. I longed to snatch it back, but I didn't want to dampen her enthusiasm. She scowled as I said, "Don't put anything on social media. I'm just sending a photo to Maddie. She wanted to see where I'd moved to." I made myself smile. "She'll have to come and visit." Daisy shrugged as though she knew that the forward motion of the teenage world would wash the traces of her away within a matter of months. 120 miles might as well be the other side of the world in real life. I moved out of the shot and let her carry on. There wasn't much in the empty room that would announce to all and sundry that we'd moved onto a brand new estate built around an old hospital in Windlow. I hoped this move to Surrey would be the last time I'd have to pack up and erase our lives. I could have an amazing party in here. I ignored the comment, even if I could bear the thought of a gang of teenagers rampaging through the house. I hated the idea of a whole group of new people knowing where we lived. Daisy rushed through to the kitchen to look out at the garden. "There's room out there for one of those blow-up swimming pools. We might be able to get one cheap on eBay." Then she frowned and laughed at herself. "Not that I know anyone to invite round, obviously." She nearly kept the resentment out of her voice. I was tempted to agree to anything she wanted, just so I could stop feeling so bad about dragging her to another town, away from her friends for the third time in her short life. Instead, I promised myself that this time, no one was going to hound me out. I put on my cheeriest voice. "You'll soon meet new people. I bet there'll be loads of teenagers on this estate." I pointed through the double doors. "That girl in the house opposite looks about your age." Daisy raced through into the living room and hovered behind the curtain, peering at the driveway over the road. I stood back, not wanting to get a reputation as a community curtain twitcher. Naturally, the biggest house on the estate would have to have a conventional family setup like the Topsy and Tim books my mum used to read to Daisy when she was little. There they all were, mum, dad, son and daughter, twisting into a back-breaking pose, all four of them laughing with their hands on the door handle, while the daughter tried to capture them all in a selfie. The big sign that said 21 Parkview would probably be in the corner of that picture for any casual Facebook observer to see. I couldn't imagine living a life where it didn't matter. Daisy stopped me disappearing down those familiar, well-trodden routes that never led to a solution by saying, "Shall we go over and say hello?" I hoped she didn't see me shudder. It was years since strangers had recognised me. Horrified fascination passing over their faces before the most brazen dared to ask, "Aren't you that woman who was in the newspaper?" I still dreaded that flicker of puzzlement, followed by wary curiosity. "They won't want us going over now. They'll be getting on with their unpacking. We'd better make a start with ours if we're not going to end up sleeping on a mattress on the floor. There'll be time to introduce ourselves later."